Powerful prayer. How many know that we can have prayer that changes things? So about five of y'all believe prayer changes things? That's what I'm getting from the amens from the house. How many know that I preach a whole lot better when you respond? That's why we're Pentecostal. We believe in engaging one another. I say something you agree with, you say amen. If you don't agree with it, say oh me or something. But prayer changes things. But unfortunately, our prayers have become anemic, impotent to change things. And I'm curious as to why. And as I began to study and pray and seek the Lord, God began to just deal with my heart about this subject, about the power of prayer. One of the reasons is I had an awesome meeting with my team that prays, that really lifts up. I mean, prayer warriors of the church that pray for us as a community. They pray for all of you. And we got together last Monday, and I believe God began to just speak to our hearts about, we didn't go into that meeting thinking we were going to come to church and start praying at 11 tomorrow, but we just out of that meeting, that's what grew out of that meeting. So we believe in prayer, but there needs to be a way to pray, and there is a way that you can pray that does change things. And I think prayer, the key to the powers of your prayer being released is you. It's you. It's what's going on in you. It's what's happening in you that releases the power of your prayers. And so I want to share with you some things, some ingredients that go into to powerful prayer, to a powerful prayer life. We see throughout the scriptures, through the beginning to the end, when prayer was released and it was released in the right way, supernatural things happen. I'm going to tell you one thing. It'd be really great if I prayed and for 3.5 years it wouldn't rain because I prayed. That's what Elijah did. Elijah prayed and 3.5 years it didn't rain. And then Elijah prayed again and then the rain was released. That's powerful prayer. I like to be able to pray a prayer that would shut the mouths of lions, wouldn't you? I'd like to be able to pray a prayer that literally I wouldn't have to do battle, that the angel of the Lord would be released and he would defeat my enemy. I wouldn't even have to lift a finger. All I'd have to do is pray. Anybody want to have that kind of prayer? I'd like to pray and I'd be able to defeat 5,000 people supernaturally. I'd like to pray and see blinded eyes open. I'd like to pray and see somebody dead get up and live again. But how does that take place? What does it mean? Some say, well, that was years ago. It won't happen again. I believe God's wanting to bring some dry bones back to life again. I believe God wants to do something in your family. And if I'm going to be honest with you, which I always am, if you really want to see God provide for your family, you better pray. And you better get into a mode of prayer. Because he's the only one's going to make a difference. There ain't no government, there ain't no man that's going to make a difference. It is only the power of God being released in our community and in our lives. The scripture says, John wrote to several in his following that he was mentoring and developing. He wrote a letter late in his life talking about the power of prayer. Listen to what he says. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So he's saying, if you do pray in a certain way, you will get your prayers answered. Now, I sometimes shy away from that as a believer because I know sometimes there have been prayers that have not been answered exactly the way I prayed them. But what John is saying here, there's no way getting around it, that if you have confidence in the Lord and you pray according to his will, that he will answer your prayer. I'm going to tell you how to do that. Ingredients to an effective and powerful prayer life. There was a little boy named Johnny. I told the first service that all my boys' names are Johnny, Bob, or Bill, or Billy. Seemed like all my stories have the same generic name. But this little boy was a mischievous boy, as most 4 and 5 year old boys are. And his mom was trying to teach him how to be disciplined and how to listen to instructions. But this little boy was just a very mischievous and difficult child. She did everything she could. She corrected him. She grew very weary of him until finally she lost it. She just lost it. And the little boy could tell that his mom was upset. And she looked at, little Johnny and she says, now, Johnny, you're going to go to your bedroom and you're not going to come out of there until you pray. And when you pray, you need to ask God for help. Because I'm telling you, I'm done. I'm not putting up with it anymore. And you better be changed when you come out of there. Scared the little boy. Little boy goes into his bedroom, stays for a few minutes. Finally, he sticks his head out the door and he says, "Mom, I prayed. Mom, I really prayed. And I believe God's going to answer my prayer." And this touched the mother's heart. She goes, "Johnny, you prayed?" "Yes, Mama, I really prayed. I prayed hard, Mama." She goes, "Well, Johnny, did you pray that the Lord would help you become a better boy so you could do things and behave yourself?" "Mama, that ain't a prayer God can answer. I pray that He'd give you more patience with me, Mama." It's typical of a child's understanding, and be honest with you, some of us pray those kinds of prayers. We pray, "God, make everybody else better. Leave me alone. Deal with them. Lord, make Hopewell a better place. Lord, make my home a better place. Make the state of Virginia a better place. Lord, touch our nation. Help our nation to turn to you." And all the Lord wants to hear you say is, "Lord, change me. Lord, do something in my life." Because the truth be told, until you pray that prayer for your own personal life, there is not a lot God can change in your life. But how does a powerful prayer get answered? How does a prayer become a powerful prayer? I'm going to give you 4 ingredients this morning. And if you'll take and apply them to your life, I promise you God will answer your prayer. I promise you, you will. You say, "Pastor, you're being mighty bold." I believe with all of my heart that if we pray with this recipe that I'm giving you today, that God will show up in a powerful way that will not only change you, but it'll change your world. The first thing you need to have, if you're going to have a powerful, effective prayer life, is you need to have a knowledge of Christ. Now, everybody that's come here this morning, probably at some time or another, sing the song, "Jesus Loved Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me, Oh, little ones, to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong." Singing those songs is all fine and dandy, but I'm talking about an intimate knowledge of God. I'm not talking about just a simple prayer that sort of just goes on the surface. I'm talking about a prayer that is driven by a relationship. I'm talking about a prayer that is driven by a connection with Him that is more than just casual. Can I just tell you this morning, most Christians have a casual relationship with the Lord. They pray when it's convenient. They go to church when it fits into their time schedule. They do things in their life, and God is a sort of a fixture in their life, but He's not the center of their life. And so what I'm talking about, if you want to pray a powerful prayer, you got to just not only know about Him, you got to know Him intimately. There's got to be some connection there. There's got to be some life changing going on in your life. There can't be just, "Hey, I go to church and I try to live a good life and I'm a good person." I'm talking about a fully pardoned life that is no longer bound by sin and its destruction, that's not dabbling in sin, that's not hanging around places they ought not be hanging and doing things they ought not be doing and just hoping and praying that somehow that your good outweighs your bad. I'm talking about living fully pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about letting the power of His presence infiltrate your life and change you from the inside out. I'm talking about a person that knows Him and the fullness of His resurrection. I'm talking about, you know, you're on your way to heaven and there ain't no doubt about it. You have an assurance and a hope that is secure, that you might have some struggles in life, but you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is with you and the Lord is a part of your life and He is leading you and directing your path. There is a relationship there. Do we know what a relationship looks like? If our relationship with our spouses was like it was with Jesus, we would have been in divorce court by now. Oh, watch out there. "I'll talk to you if I need you. When I get in a pinch, I'll reach out to you, but you just don't bother me. I got a life to live." I was reading about this a little bit. Most of us, when we're praying to the Lord, we're wanting Him to conform to us. And what He's looking for, a person that's willing to conform to His image and His purpose in life. That there's such an intimacy that you know when He speaks, you hear His voice. You know what He's saying. Even when you don't want to hear him, you know what his voice is saying. There is an intimacy. There is a relationship. There is that full pardon living in grace. Can I tell you, when you're living fully by grace, you are able to extend a lot of grace. Some of us that are hanging on to some judgment, it's because we're still having a hard time believing God can forgive us. And so we're trying to live just good enough to get into heaven. You can't live good enough to get into heaven. You got to let his love saturate you and his grace overflow out of your life. So you just live out of grace. And when you're living out of grace, you don't have to worry about the devil stealing something from you, because he sealed you. And the full pardon of your sins is gone. And he's there. Intimacy with him. A powerful prayer knows who they're praying to. They've developed that relationship. It's just not a story somebody told him. It's a story that has come alive in their own lives. Knowledge of Christ means we're living a lifestyle that we know he wants to hang around. Would Jesus want to hang around you if he was walking with you in the flesh today? I'm just asking. I'm not here to point a finger or condone or condemn or anything else. I'm just asking you, if Jesus hung out with you, how would your life change? See, a knowledge of Christ, it's like the old song. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Walking, talking, breathing, believing, trusting in him. The Apostle Paul wrote a beautiful letter. I'm going to be referring to that letter quite frequently through the remainder of this service. It's Philippians. Philippians was a letter that he wrote late in his life. I've used it. In fact, I love preaching from Philippians. Philippians is a letter sent by a man in jail to people that are poor and persecuted. They have no leverage in the world that they live in other than Christ himself. And their leader is in prison waiting for execution. And he writes them a letter. And you would think it would be a letter of doom and gloom. But read all of Paul's letters. Of all of his letters, Philippians is the most positive and joyful letter that he wrote. And why was that? Because Paul had an assurance that you can put bonds on my legs and feet, but you can never bind me ever again, because I've been set free from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And though my body may be shackled, my soul is set free. And he writes to these poor and persecuted people, and he shares this with them. He says, that I may know him. Everybody say, know him. In the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Knowing him, the power of eternal life. Knowing him, that though I suffer, he is with me, and I shall overcome suffering, because he has promised never to forsake me. And when we know him in the full knowledge of Christ, then there is something that develops. We have a confidence in him. If there's ever been something that's absent from the church now, it's we got no confidence. We don't pray confidently. We don't live confidently. We cower at the first sight of trouble. They're going to come take something from me. They're going to come cause me some trouble. So I better just hunker down and hang in there and not let my light shine so bright, because I don't want nobody coming around and trying to blow it out. No, when we get to know him, hear me today. This is a progressive track. Get to know him first. You can't pray a powerful prayer until you know fully and have a full assurance that your sins are gone, that he is with you, that you understand his voice, that there's intimacy there, that there's a connection, that he's your closest friend. Can I tell you that the Bible states it very clearly that your relationship with God should be so strong that the very relationships on earth that should be most valuable to you should be almost like hate. This is what God's word says. What does he say? If you're going to follow me, you got to hate your mom, hate your dad, hate your kids. Hate your husband, hate your wife. But I thought God was love. And he's telling me to hate? No, you misunderstand him. He's saying, your love should be so strong for me that all other love should be almost like hate. And here's the deal. When I love Jesus, I love my wife more. When I love Jesus, I love my kids more. When I love Jesus, I love my mom and my dad more. When I love Jesus, I love you more. How can I keep pastoring people that sometimes frustrate me to no end? Because I love Jesus and I know I frustrate him to no end. And because he's not giving up on me, I'm not giving up on you. And guess what? You can't give up on me. If you love God, you gotta love me anyway. So there. Then when you got that kind of connection, then confidence comes. Some of y'all are in dire need of a shot of confidence, a boost of belief. It's not going to come until you get into his presence. Prayer is getting in his presence. And when you get in his presence, all of a sudden you get a shot of confidence. And what does confidence bring? The first thing that confidence brings to our life, going to the next point there, brother, real quick. I'm on a roll. I'm determined. I'm determined. I'm not going to be easily defeated. I'm not going to be easily discouraged. I'm not going to give up so quickly. I'm going to be determined. Oh, the Lord is with me. And if the Lord is with me, I can make it. And sometimes I can fake it till I do make it. But I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm determined. Why? Because I've got the Lord in my life. And determination brings boldness into our life. And then when somebody tells us, oh, we're a kook and we don't got any sense. And we believe pie in the sky. And that's an old book. We can say with confidence and with boldness, I know my Redeemer lives. And because he lives today, I am able to live forevermore. I know my strength is in God. I know my hope is in the Lord. The joy of my Lord is my strength. Boldness. We need a shot of boldness. We need to be willing to depend upon him when we don't have the answers. See, confidence says, I can do it because God told me I can do it. And I'm going to depend on him when I don't have the answers. See, when you know him, you're fully confiding in him. Then in those moments when questions come, when they ultimately do to us that we can't understand, I'm going to sing, I've got confidence. God, some of y'all been complaining about old songs. I'm singing a bunch today, so here it is. I've got confidence. God's going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. Praise the Lord. Y'all ought to be shouting right now. Anybody got confidence? Dependency, an assurance. Come on, Carlos, preach with me. Amen. Hey, is God alive today? Somebody say, yes, he is. Is God in control? Somebody say, yes, he is. If he's alive and he's in control, what you down in the mouth about? Come in here depressed, I'm going to make you happy one way or the other. Oh, the Lord is. Amen. Listen to what the scripture says. Jeremiah, no, Philippians 3, 4 and 5. We are confident. Say, I'm confident. You're not confident because of who you are. You're confident because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. So if you're going to pray a powerful prayer, you need to know him. And his knowledge will bring confidence into your life. And then here's where some of us get off track. We're not properly aligned. Not only you got to know him and you got to have confidence in him, you got to be properly aligned. Line up with him. What does aligning with Christ mean? Your heart's desire is to please him. Not to please mom, not to please dad, not to please somebody at the church. Pleasing God is what drives you. And I've got news for you. If you want to please the Lord, you're going to have to eat a lot of crow and do a lot of things you don't want to do. That's just the way it is, friend. 20 some odd years, I've been doing a lot of things I didn't particularly care about doing. But why do I do them? Because I love him. Because he's my heart's desire. Conforming to the Father, not to the world. Why did I decide? And I'm gonna give you a little parenting instruction here. Now, I can give good instruction, tell my kids something happens to them or they do something they shouldn't do, then you can give me instruction. But they're doing pretty good so far, so I'm gonna commend them. Great job. Awesome. All right. When Vicki and I started raising children at a young age, I was 21 and she was 20, right? Man, that's a long time ago. I was 21 and she was 20. We were not very smart kids. I'll speak for myself. She's pretty intelligent. She married me, so I'll just leave that alone. No, she's a great lady. But I made a decision. When we started having kids, there was one priority in our life. Is we was going to have them in church. And we made a decision whenever the door was open, we was going to be there. And our schedule was going to be around the church. Now, this ain't a preacher talk. And this is back when I was a young, snotty-nosed kid that was a father to a little girl. I had no clue how to be a dad. But one thing I prioritized in my life is they're going to be in church as often as I can get them there. I'm going to schedule around them, everything. It's important. I'm going to raise them right in the home, but I want them to know the Lord. And so four kids, fast forward 30 some odd years later, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Every last one of my kids are in church on Sunday. It wasn't rocket science, folks. It's just consistency. It's just going and doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like doing it. You'll align yourself with Christ when you'll do the right thing because it pleases the Lord. It may not please you, but can I tell you, that's where we get it wrong. God's going to give us every treasure, but we don't delight in him. So you got to delight in him to get the treasure. You got to seek him first to get everything added to you. So conforming to the Father and to his word, his will, not your own will. And it's hard. And I know I'm not speaking from terms that it wasn't hard. I can share story after story where I struggled and I wanted to do other things. But the Lord always brought me back to my promise of bringing them up in the right way. Why do we have kids? Why has our country gotten into the shape it's gotten into? We turned away from the word. We took to the knowledge of men. Men told us that this was okay, so we just embraced it, and we keep embracing it, and we keep going further. Did anybody here think we would be at this point ever in your lifetime? I never thought that, but when you start chasing that path, it'll take you in places you never thought you'd go. Now, I know this ain't an amen message right in that moment, but that is the truth. Walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Jeremiah 10:23-24. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. This is Jeremiah talking. And we're not able to plan our own course. So correct me, Lord. And then he gives a plea, but please be gentle. Do not correct me in anger, for I would die. Jeremiah knew he was in a time, much like we are in, where the nation he had loved and adored had chosen other paths. And now they were reaping what they had sown. And Jeremiah was praying for his own life and the lives of the people that he represented. Lord, plan my course. Align me in your purposes. And finally, our motivation must be by Christ. I want to be quite frank with you this morning. I really am laboring for you guys. Trying to come to this pulpit with messages that'll help you. I really am. We don't need feel-good messages right now. We cannot feel good about the state of where we're at as a nation. We cannot feel good about it. But we cannot throw our hands up and quit. Shame on you if you quit. Shame on you. When you were walking your own path and doing your own thing, did God give up on you? When you thought you knew best, God was gracious and merciful. Here's the deal. A powerful prayer life will lead to a confident believer, which will cause him to be aligned in Christ, which will correct his motives, which will unleash the blessings of the Lord in the believer. What is the marks of motivation in Christ? First of all, they're a servant. First. Everybody here can't sing. Everybody here can't preach. Everybody here can't teach. Everybody here can't do a lot of things, but everybody can be a servant. The first mark of a believer that's sincere before the eyes of God is they serve others. And I'm talking about others with no benefit. Jesus, Yeshua said that if you serve those that love you, you are no better than a tax collector or a sinner, because they love those that love them. If you want to truly show that you're motivated by Christ, he says, serve someone that can't pay you back anything. Jesus said, Yeshua said in Matthew 25, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, visit those that are in prison, take care of orphans and widows, serve a servant's heart. Secondly, walking in humility. Not puffed up about good they're doing, but always acknowledging that it is only because of God's grace that we can. Thirdly, willing to sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? I'm going to ask you a question today. If I told you today you could go pray right now, and God would only ask you one thing, and then he would unlock the doors of heaven for you. And when you kneeled down to pray, he told you to give up the most important thing, or most, the thing you love to do the most for him. Could you do it? Could you do it? Now, I'm not saying he will. I'm not. But you got to be willing to sacrifice. And finally, you got to be surrendered to him totally. Mean you're all in. Mean you're not going to jump ship when things get rough. Total surrender. Prayer that perseveres and finds power is prayer that'll push through the darkness until the light comes through. Here's the deal. When our motives are pure and the Lord will begin to order our steps to fulfill his purposes, then we will receive the treasure from him. Would you stand with me this morning? Paul wrote in Philippians, final scripture from Philippians, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I have not yet arrived to the place in my life to where I can say, dying, man, I'm looking forward to dying. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm not looking forward to die. But Paul could literally state, the reason I'm on this earth is to give something for God. And if that's what his design is, I'm all good. But I have a longing to be in his presence. You want to pray a powerful prayer? Get connected to Jesus. Know him and the fullness of his resurrection. Secondly, through that you will gain confidence in him, to where you believe him at his word. And this will take you to alignment with his will. His will sometimes is for you to suffer. Hear me. Sometimes it's his will to take something away from you. But if you've not spent time with him and gained confidence in him, when he tries to align you, you will not understand. You will not even embrace it. It will cause questions to arise that you'll never answer. And then when you're aligned, your motives become pure. And the power of your prayers is released. Bow your heads this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to bring the word. I realize, God, we're all coming from different walks of life and we're dealing with different circumstances. And I believe, God, there is a hunger in this sanctuary right now for you. Father, if there's someone here that has sin as an obstacle to their prayer life, Lord, reveal it to them right now. Help them to confess it, to believe that you can change them. God, let confidence be released to your people and a boldness that says, no matter what anybody else do, whatever anybody else does for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Align us, God, with your purposes and your will. Not our will, but your will be done. And Lord, search our hearts. Know our fears. Reveal our motives, O God. Let them be pure before you. In Jesus, I pray in your name. This morning, just for a few moments, if you could just hang tight. Let's spend a few moments praying together. I want you to reach across the aisle, grab the hold of the hand of somebody beside you. And I want you to do something for me. The person to your right, I want you to ask them, can I pray for something for you today? There's something I can pray for you. And pray for them. If you want me to pray for you, the altar is open. If you need to receive Christ, come forward. I will lead you to the Lord. If you need healing, I will pray for you. But let's pray for each other just for a few moments and ask Him to touch us today. Amen? Pray for one another right now.
You revive me. You revive me, Lord. And all my deserts are rivers of joy. You are the treasure I could not afford. So I'll spend myself till I'm empty and poor, all for you. You revive me, Lord. Lord, I've seen your goodness, and I know the way you are. Give me eyes to see you in the dark. And your face shines a glory that I only know in part. And there is still a longing in my heart. You revive me. You revive me, Lord. And all my deserts are rivers of joy. You are the treasure that I could not afford. So I'll spend myself till I'm empty and poor, all for you. You revive me, Lord. My soul, Lord, is thirsty. Only you can satisfy. You're the well that never will run dry. And I'll praise you for the blessing, for calling me your friend. And in your name I'm lifting up my hands. You revive me.
I just want you to grab the hand of the person beside you. I want us to pray for our nation. Not complain about our nation, not accuse our nation. Pray for our nation. Here's how God brings revival to a nation. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, they will turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. We are the people of God. We need to pray. Lord, forgive us for forgive us. Lord, heal our land. Heal our nation. I still believe this country was raised up to be a light to the world. I don't believe God's done with us yet, do you? Pray with me. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for our nation. God, forgive us as a church where we ceased to pray when we should have been on our knees seeking you. God, forgive us, O Lord, for turning a cold shoulder to one that we judge instead of helping them, O God, in their time of need. Forgive us, Lord, for complaining about our political leadership and not praying for our political leadership. Lift up your church, O God. Help us to shine so that you might receive glory. Touch us as your people, O God. Anoint us, God, to be messengers of hope in a hopeless time. Forgive us, O God. Cleanse us, O Lord. Restore unto us, O God, the joys of our salvation. That we might teach sinners your way, and sinners may be converted to you. We worship you, O God, and we glorify your name.
You breathe on me. You revive me.
I believe the Lord's up to something good. We got to find Him, chase after Him, long for Him. Spend time with Him this week. Pray tomorrow. We're spending time praying. I'll be over here praying. Somewhere between 11 and 1, I'll be here praying, seeking the Lord's face. Others will be here with us. Pray with us. Collectively, we can make a difference if we trust Him and let Him lead us. Amen. Brother Gleason, will you pray a prayer of dismissal?